We now turn to the book of Proverbs. Let's read together Proverbs chapter 1, the verses 1 through 19. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They lie down and wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. And the text for this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, the verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 146 warns us, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, in that very day his plans perish. People can offer important advice, they can help each other in significant ways, but we are all mortal. We have limitations. Only God is the source of never-ending wisdom and infinite strength. And the text for this morning makes this point. It comes from the book of Proverbs. This is a book full of wisdom. Many countries have proverbs, folk sayings that provide human insights for daily life. And while there may be some parallels with the Proverbs and Scripture, there's also a fundamental difference. The Proverbs in the Bible result from divine revelation. They express God's perspective on human life. And he gives us fundamental direction for our spiritual lives. The text for this morning reflects this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And we'll focus on three points: what he asks of us, what he warns against, and thirdly, what he promises. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We'll focus on what he asks of us, what he warns against, and what he promises. Trust is a key word in the proverb that we'll be reflecting on now. We aren't talking about trusting each other. We're talking about trusting the Lord. Who is He? He is our God. When you see God's name rendered in our translation as Lord in capital letters, it's important to know that it represents the Hebrew name Yahweh. I touched on this last week too. It's linked to a verb that means to be. And centuries ago, the Lord revealed to Moses that His name is Yahweh. And He then declared, I am who I am. And that's not simply a statement about His existence. It's a statement about His presence. He promises to be there for His people. Our God doesn't keep Himself at a distance from us. He draws us into a close relationship with Him. And His name reminds us that He wants us to be aware of His presence, His power, and His grace. Trusting in the Lord requires being convinced of His goodness and willingness to help. He's given us many reasons to trust Him. Think of how often He has helped His people in ages past. The Bible has many examples of people in desperate situations crying out to the Lord for help. Again and again we read of how He showed Himself to be a faithful covenant God. He hears the cries of His people, even when they have caused their own miserable circumstances. He responds to us when we call upon Him in faith. Our God has given us the most powerful testimony of His forgiving love in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only begotten Son sent into this world to become our Savior. And what greater proof could we ask for of divine love? He died on the cross to atone for our sins and to obtain salvation for us. And now, by the Holy Spirit, He is with us, as expressed by the prophetic name Emmanuel, God with us. God's grace comes to us through Jesus Christ. And just as in our text, it comes to us with command, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the way of salvation. It's the only way of eternal life. Be confident in the grace of our covenant God. Depend on Him for all that you need for body and soul. God promises to hear our cries for help, for wisdom and insight, for the sake of Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we receive genuine hope and perspective in life. This is God's gift to us. We don't deserve it. And He will show that He is trustworthy. He remains faithful to what He has promised us. When you trust in Him as a child, His child, you rest secure in His strength. You feel safe knowing that He is all-powerful. You are content because He is your Heavenly Father. And His power and love guarantee that no matter what happens, things will work out for your good. God answers prayers. He can deliver you out of your difficulties. Or He can give you strength to cope with situations that you can't get out of. And this means you can experience joy in Him and peace in situations that could otherwise cause you to despair. Trust in Him to help you. And trusting in the Lord is not something to do half-heartedly or only occasionally. You don't just try God out in order to discard Him later if He doesn't please you. That would dishonor Him. For the sake of your salvation, trust in Him fully throughout your life. Don't let there be any exceptions to this rule. Circumstances may test your patience. It may be tempting to take another route than what the Bible tells you to do. But that's not an option for a believer. Trusting in the Lord involves listening carefully to His word. After all, that's how He makes Himself and His will known to us clearly. And that's where you should look for divine wisdom and guidance. So when you wonder what God's will is, open your Bible. And don't do this haphazardly, poking your finger at a text to see what it says. You might think, well, that's worked for me before. And it should not surprise us that opening it at any page may provide us with unique insights. The Bible contains many words of wisdom, but be careful how you use it. Taking random texts to guide your actions can be a dangerous thing. What are you going to do if you poke your finger at a text and read the words that Judas went and hanged himself? That's in the Bible, but do you think that's meant for us as an example to follow? Of course not. What are you going to do if you open your Bible again and think, I'll try another text? And you put your finger on a random one like Luke 10 verse 37, where Jesus says, go and do likewise. Well, if you read that in combination with when Judas went and hanged himself, that would not be a very comforting form of advice, would it be? And that's not how God would have us use His word. Trusting in the Lord involves letting Him guide us. Keep in mind, however, that the words of Scripture have their own context. Some texts apply directly to our circumstances. Others point us in a general direction. So, pray for wisdom. And then search the Scriptures for insight into dealing with your challenges. If you can't figure out what to think or do, talk to wise believers. They may be able to help you further. Imagine, for example, that you're looking for a wife. The proverb, trust in the Lord with all your heart, should apply not only to yourself, but also to the person you're considering as a future spouse. Does he or she also trust in the Lord? If you're looking for a spouse, whether you're a guy or a girl, Proverbs 31 verse 30 cautions you, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Well, what does that tell you? Look beyond pleasing manners or a pretty face. Is the woman you find attractive serious about honoring the Lord in her entire life? It's not enough that she goes to the same church as you do on Sundays. How does she live on other days of the week? Is her heart focused on serving God first and above all? Or is she preoccupied with other things in life? The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Trust in the Lord with all your heart involves obeying Him without question when He has revealed His will clearly. And this doesn't mean that the Lord is asking for blind obedience in our text. Such obedience would be based on authority, but without understanding. And then you might obey only out of fear for negative consequences. Blind obedience would be a frightening experience if you would have to obey someone you don't trust. Things are different in our relationship with the Lord. Trusting the Lord involves surrendering control to Him even when you can't oversee the big picture. Why surrender control? Because you know who He is. You place your confidence in His guidance, knowing that He is almighty and wise. You acknowledge His right to direct your life. You also trust that his instructions and commands will be good for you. You may not always see that his way is the best at a given moment. Our sight is often dim. There's a lot of darkness in this world. We do, however, have the comfort of Scripture. It leads us to echo what we read in Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You don't have to see far in order to take a step at a time. There are times in life when that's all we can do. Trust in the Lord. Rely on his word for direction. And then you won't be disappointed. There is such a thing as a wrongly directed trust. Our text also speaks about that. It warns us not to lean on our own understanding. And this brings us to our second point. Problems may become temptations for us. Imagine you're in a tough situation where sin appears to be the only way out. Is that really a good solution? Or is it a temptation that you can and must avoid? We don't love each other anymore, you might hear a couple say. And their next step is to arrange for a divorce. According to their insight, that's the best solution for both parties. God's law doesn't always make things easy for us. It calls for self-denial. It tells us to love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves. And that means that our own desires and ambitions should not have priority. Our call is to glorify God. Seek to honor him. And this includes making a consistent effort to love each other. You might not always feel like doing that, but the command to love each other calls for action. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Even in a Christian marriage, there can be the danger of relying too much on each other. Then you build your hopes and expectations on your spouse, and your life revolves around him or her. If there are problems, you take them to this person whom you love so dearly. And perhaps it ends there. Some couples rely so much on each other that they don't lay their problems before the Lord in prayer. They don't study the scriptures to discern God's will in their circumstances. That's relying on human insight instead of on the Lord. Many situations in life can be hard for us to handle. They confront us with our limitations. Certain choices have far-reaching consequences. For example, young people who graduate from high school may be looking for a permanent job. Others have plans for further education. Some are looking for a spouse. Whom will you choose? Such choices can have a profound impact on your future. Others among us are already married and have children. Then you face other challenges. Each child is unique. Strategies that work with raising one may fail with another. And just when you think things are stable, something throws one of your children or you off balance. How will you deal with that? People or books may help you, but don't forget to trust in the Lord and look to him for guidance. Your own understanding of the situation will always have limitations. Married or not, young or old, don't think more highly of the opinion of people around you than of God's law. Lay your problems before him in prayer. Study the scriptures to discern his will in your circumstances. And then show your willingness to rely on the Lord. Don't do what seems right to you if you're not sure it's also right in His sight. Let Him be your guide. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Remember that promise. God is faithful. That's a reminder to trust in the Lord. Rely on Him to show you how to deal with the situation. Going your own way won't bring lasting happiness. That's for sure. There's a warning that we can find twice in the book of Proverbs. The first time in chapter 14, verse 12, and then again in chapter 16, verse 25. It goes like this. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. In other words, doing things your own way may seem to be better, but it can literally be a dead-end street leading to your final destruction. So once again, lean not on your own understanding. Right after our text, we read the warning, do not be wise in your own eyes. People who are wise in their own eyes deliberately choose to go against the Word of God because they think that's a better choice. It isn't better, even though it may seem to be so. And after the warning not to be wise in your own eyes comes the command, fear the Lord and depart from evil. We show that we fear the Lord by trusting that what He says is good, and that going against His will would be evil. And something evil is not only morally wrong, it will also harm ourselves and perhaps also people around us. Office bearers do well to make this clear while shepherding the flock of God. Encourage the sheep to obey the Lord, not only because He is God, but also because He is good. Explain the wisdom of God's ways, especially when you see sheep go astray. Calling to obey, not only because God says so, but because He is trustworthy. When they choose their own ways, they will not only be turning their backs on Him. Sin is by nature always destructive. Sinners plunge themselves into misery. Sinful choices can affect spouses, children, grandchildren, and many others. People often overlook the long-term effects of their actions. And the ripple effects can last for generations unless God in His grace intervenes. Help congregation members to think about that. Brothers and sisters, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. And that implies knowing Him and taking His will into account in all that you say and do. The Apostle Paul puts this in a positive way in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What he means is this. Acknowledging God and seeking to glorify Him involves your whole life. Remember this at home and outside the home. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, all the time. Never exclude the Lord from any area of your lives. God is our Creator. He has the right to tell us to obey Him. As our loving Heavenly Father, He has given us so many reasons to listen to Him and do what He says. He made us for His own glory. So to glorify Him is our highest purpose in life. But He wants more than the obedience of slaves. He wants obedience that is a loving response to His fatherly love. Obeying the Lord will lead to the joy of seeing His hand at work in your lives. At the end of our text, there's a glorious promise that reinforces the command to trust in the Lord. And this brings us to our third point. In Proverbs 3, verse 6, the Lord gives us an added incentive to trust in Him. He doesn't just call us to respond to Him in love. As we show love to Him, He promises to show us more of His love. Listen carefully. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Many things in the future are uncertain. However, one thing is certain. You will encounter obstacles and difficulties in life. And the direction you choose can be positive or negative. Our text in Proverbs speaks of ways and paths. Those terms are synonyms. They're often used as a sort of picture in the Bible. They can refer to the way of life or the way that leads to death. And choosing your own path will get you into serious trouble. Acknowledge the Lord. Rely on Him for direction. He will direct your paths, can be translated, you can see that in a footnote as well, possibly in your Bible. He will direct your paths, can be translated as a promise to make straight your paths. Now think of paths in a forest or of roads through difficult terrain. They can be very uneven. Roads often wind their way around many obstacles. In Old Testament times, people would make roads or paths straight in preparation for a royal visitor. They would remove obstacles and fill up holes to make the journey safe and without unnecessary detours. In the proverb for today, God promises to work in such a way for us. Isn't that amazing? When do we encounter real obstacles in life? When do we stumble and fall? Can we blame the circumstances? Or is it how we respond in various situations that can be positive or negative? Our text tells us to acknowledge the Lord. Do that even when it's hard. And if you do that, you will find the Lord at work in your life. He will help you to move forward. That's what our text promises us. If you live closely in fellowship with the Lord, He promises to straighten out your path. How does God make our path straight? By His Word and through His providential dealings with us. He will lead you in the right direction, removing obstacles to doing His will. Just think of Psalm 25, the verses 8 to 9. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore He teaches sinners in the way. The humble He guides in justice. And the humble He teaches His way. It takes humility to see and acknowledge your own limitations. It takes faith to acknowledge the Lord. In obeying Him, you will find that His way is straight. It's the path of everlasting life in fellowship with Him. It's the only way to be fruitful in His service. Let the Lord be at the center of your life. Trust Him. Open yourself up to His guidance. Then you will find Him at work in your life, guiding you and helping you to move forward. Somehow things will work out in the right way. And you will find out that listening to Him is the path to true joy and fulfillment in life. Beloved, remember God's love revealed through Jesus Christ. let him continue to bind us all together in his service. Seeking his honor, you will find yourself on the path of life. Continue to walk along that path by his grace. Trust in him to lead you onward to heavenly glory. Amen. Let's now unite in a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the good news of salvation that you give to us. We thank you that you call us to trust in you wholeheartedly, without reservation. We thank you that you have revealed your love through Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you that through faith in him, we may receive the forgiveness of our sins. And our sins are many, for so often we choose our own ways instead of your ways. We pray that you will look upon us in your grace, renewing us more and more by the power of your word and spirit, that we may embrace your ways wholeheartedly. And that in doing so, we may show that we trust in you, because you are God, our God, and because you are good. And we rejoice in that. And we pray that you will help us to steer away from evil ways, ways of human insight, paths of our own choosing that are not in harmony with your word. Grant that we may be on guard against such sins, that we may choose to walk in your ways. And if things are not clear to us, Father, we pray that you will grant wisdom also through consultation with believers who are wise because of your word and can point us in the right direction, that can point us to your paths, paths of truth and love. We pray for your special blessings on the work of Pastor James and the elders and deacons. Will you grant them the wisdom that they need in shepherding the sheep of the flock? Will you grant them the strength that they need also to admonish where this is needed? And in so doing, to show themselves to be faithful shepherds who are truly concerned about the sheep following your ways. We thank you that you give us your promises as well. The promise of life and fellowship with you. Life everlasting. Grant us that, comforted and strengthened by your promises of grace, that we may continue in daily fellowship with you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for hearing our prayers for the Synod, which was convened this past week. We pray, Father, that you'll receive our thanks that the brothers were able to gather in harmony, and that there were blessings over the deliberations, and we pray that you'll give guidance in implementing whatever decisions were made, that all may serve the honor of your name and the well-being of the churches in the URCNA Federation. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will similarly give guidance to the Church of Jesus Christ throughout this whole world. Grant that your children may seek to preserve, to maintain the unity of the faith and spirit of love. We also lay before you concerns in the congregation. We pray, Father, for brother, Redden's brother, who continues to be ill. Will you bless the visit of Detmer and his wife in the Netherlands, and grant that they may be able to channel words of comfort from your word also to this brother and to all the loved ones in their distress. We also pray, Father, that you will be with expectant mothers in our midst. We know that the time of pregnancy can also be a difficult time, a challenging time, for various reasons. Will you give strength, and will you grant that all may go well, that as a congregation we may rejoice in the birth of healthy children in the future. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will also be with Ian Cameron, who has been suffering from serious back pain. We pray that things may go better with him, and that whatever medical attention may be needed to alleviate his pain and to find a solution for it, that solutions may be found. We also pray that you will be with all those who are on vacation in our midst. Will you find safety and a time of refreshment? We also remember in this regard especially the Rusma family. We thank you that they're doing better, and we pray that they may recover fully and be able to enjoy their time of vacation yet. We pray that we may all be refreshed during these months when the weather is pleasant and there's so much in your creation to see and to enjoy, to marvel at, because this is your work. Your work in the world around us, a reminder of your faithfulness from season to season. We pray for the growth of the crops that have been planted. We know that this also cannot be taken for granted. We pray for people in Northwest Iowa who are suffering from floods recently. Massive damage to crops. Will you grant them what they need in their circumstances, and above all, grant that people may look to you, that they may trust in you to help them further. So often we see events such as floods and other incidents as simply something we'd rather not undergo, rather not have happen to us or anyone else. Yet we confess that all things come from your fatherly hand to your people. And the difficulties are also the time of testing, the time to patiently endure, the time to trust in you. For you will provide a way to deal with the situations in which we find ourselves. Grant comfort also through the fellowship of the saints, and through help that is needed, and that is also provided in various ways in difficult times. We praise you for that. Hear us, guide us further on this day and in this week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.